Many people would consider frugality to be a Christian virtue, but is it really? Hi, I'm Rob West. We often equate frugality with stewardship, but they're not exactly the same thing. Today, we'll explain why. We're off, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Now, just so you know what I mean by frugal, I'm talking about being careful with your resources. Someone who's frugal saves their money, spends less than they earn, and is economical in their financial choices. Maybe that's you, or maybe you're married to someone who's a conscientious penny pincher. Being frugal can demonstrate virtues like self-control and patience. And of course, we've all heard Benjamin Franklin's quote, "A penny saved is a penny earned." Here at Faith and Finance, we do recommend saving for the future, paying down your debts, and avoiding overspending. So is there a difference between just being frugal and the financial stewardship we talk about so often? I'd say there is. You see, frugality on its own is not the answer to financial peace. From a biblical perspective, we aren't the owners of our money and possessions. God is. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, as it says in Psalm 24. Acknowledging the lordship of Christ over our finances puts the emphasis on the heart, not the balance sheet. Here's what Jesus said about this in Matthew 6. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So being extra careful with your money does lay up treasures for you on earth, but the eternal benefits Jesus talks about are different. They come when you surrender all your needs and desires to God, accepting your role as a steward or caretaker of His blessings. It's really a matter of perspective. Frugality can be a part of stewardship or, by itself, can become a source of selfishness, greed, and pride. So how can you tell if you've gone from solid stewardship to frugal foolishness? Well, here are some signs. Do you spend hours being frugal every week? Maybe you're into clipping coupons, driving around to get the best gas prices, or searching the internet for deals on necessities. In other words, has frugality become an obsession? Do you go without things you need just to save money? Maybe you're like the person who sleeps on the floor just to avoid spending money on a bed. Another warning sign is hoarding. You buy items when the price is low, ending up with closets full of toothpaste or toilet paper, or you refuse to throw things away, thinking you might use them later. This can be a warning sign for lack of trust in God's provision. Do you compromise your safety in the name of frugality? Choosing to eat expired foods or use prescriptions past their expiration, all for the sake of saving a few dollars, can actually put you and your family in danger. If you think about frugality as a competition or feel pressured to do it, you may have the wrong attitude. And if spending any money at all stresses you out, that's an indication that you're missing out on God's peace. A final sign that you might be taking frugality too far is if you resent having to give or share anything, even if it's just a potluck supper or a church fundraiser. The fact is, God calls us to be generous. If penny pinching kills your generosity, well, you're missing out on God's blessings. Hebrews 13:16 reminds us, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." As with every kind of behavior, there's always an underlying mindset that triggers our actions. I've found that in most cases, overdoing it on frugality springs from a lack of balance. It's okay to clip coupons, for example, if you just don't spend 10 hours a week doing it. Your time is valuable too. Paying attention to the basic health and well-being of yourself and your family is more important than shaving a few dollars off the power bill or grocery costs. And while there's nothing inherently wrong with spending money, there are more important things in life than money. Generosity towards others, for example, can bring joy that far outweighs a few extra dollars in the bank. So if you find that your frugality is looking more like foolishness, well, it's time to restore the balance. Jesus has the answer for you. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things you really need, will be added to you. Basically speaking, stewardship has a larger purpose than frugality: to further God's kingdom work here on earth until Jesus returns. All right, your calls are next. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
In a world where no one can tell us no.
To this day, every human being born on this planet is the product of a male and a female. That's the way God set it up.
God created us in His image.
A place where Facebook and YouTube have no control.
I think the command in Scripture relative to men and women is not mainly women sit down, but men stand up, act like men, lead as you're supposed to.
A place where we can no longer be canceled.
When the Scripture speaks, God speaks. And if you understand that rightly, then everything else simply falls into place.
The American Family Association presents the AFA streaming platform. Just visit streaming.afa.net for the latest films, documentaries, and AFA original productions. You'll even find videos from some of your favorite talk shows. All you have to do is create a free account at streaming.afa.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This week on Truth for Life, learn to view the world through the filter of the Bible and view yourself in light of God's holiness. Find out why you can trust and praise God in the bad times as well as the good. That's on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The Credit Union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. By the way, if you've not checked out our website recently, we'd love for you to do that. The wealth of content, articles, podcasts, and videos there to help you be a wise and faithful steward of God's money is incredible. You'll find it all at faithfi.com. You can visit that on your smartphone or on your desktop. Again, faithfi.com. Just click the content button. Also, while you're there, check out the FaithFi app that can help you manage God's money and access all of this great content on the go. Just click the app tabs. Again, it's all at faithfi.com. Let's head to Mundelein in Illinois. Thanks for calling, Linda. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
God bless you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
I have a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm 62 and a half, and I was thinking about changing my career. I'm still working.
Okay.
And if I have a 401k where I am, and if I went going into a new one, new company, what would I do best when it comes to my 401k? Should I roll it over into something else, roll it over into the new company, you know?
Yes, ma'am. I like the idea of rolling it out, the current 401k, and once you separate from your employer, you have the ability to do that. I would typically recommend you either roll it to an IRA, where you'd then have unlimited investment options. You could either manage it yourself or hire someone to do that. Or for simplicity's sake, just roll it into your new 401k if the new 401k plan administrator will allow that. And that would just keep it all in one place. And then you could invest it all, what you roll in plus what you add to it moving forward, in the same investments. And then once you've ultimately retire, you could roll it out to an IRA and hire an advisor to manage that for you. How much do you have in that old 401k that would be coming out?
Right now, it's almost like 190.
Okay. So it's a significant sum of money. So I think, you know, it really depends on the direction you want to go. With $190,000, you can absolutely have an advisor manage that for you. And we would recommend that you interview a couple of certified Kingdom advisors there in Illinois. You can find the CKAs in your area. That stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. Just go to faithfi.com and click find a CKA. The benefit of that is you wouldn't be limited to the investment options inside the 401k. And that advisor could really understand your goals and objectives, your age and risk tolerance, and then build a portfolio that's uniquely suited to you, but he or she would have the full gamut of investments to choose from. Now, you'd have to pay them for that, but they'd be able to have certainly more in the way of investment options than inside your 401k. But if you didn't want to hire an advisor at this point and you wanted to do it yourself, then it's probably easier to roll it into the 401k and just pick from the investment options inside the plan.
Okay.
Which sounds like it would be the better fit for you.
I would roll it over, and because I don't know if I'm going to do 3 more years or maybe what. I might work till I'm 67, you know.
Okay, yeah. Well, the other benefit of having an advisor manage it is you could do some retirement planning as well, just to determine, you know, what are your expenses going to look like in retirement? How much can you expect from Social Security? And what is a good goal for your ultimate retirement savings that can be converted to an income stream that would give you enough to meet your obligations? And I think if you did some of that planning, Linda, you may have a bit more peace of mind just knowing that you know what your ultimate goal is, you've got a plan to do it, and you're not just hopeful that you'll have enough to meet your obligations, but you'll have a real plan backing it up. And that could be one of the benefits of engaging an advisor. So I think the bottom line is I would roll it out. If you roll it out to an IRA, I'd consider hiring a CKA to manage it and do that planning. And if you'd rather not start that process, then I'd roll that to your new 401k and take it from there. Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling today. Back to the phones. Hi, Kyle. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I am 29 years old, about to turn 30 in November, and I have a good amount saved up in my savings right now. And I'm just looking for better return on investments instead of just letting it sit in there, not really accruing much interest, and an investment in something that would be safe even with this. It seems like it's almost inevitable, this transition that's going to come with digital currency down the road. So, just looking for best ways to invest instead of letting it sit in the savings.
Yeah. So we have to define the time horizon on this savings. You know, I would want you to keep at least 3 to 6 months expenses in that savings account. If it's not in a high yield saving earning at least 4%, I'd consider moving it there. If it is, great, I'd leave at least that much behind. But tell me, do you have more than what would be equal to 3 to 6 months expenses?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. What do you have roughly that would be available beyond that to invest?
I have about $15,000.
Okay. And do you have a retirement plan available at work?
I don't. Not currently.
Okay. All right. And so are you actively putting anything away for retirement currently?
Not right now, no.
Okay.
Just, I'm taking everything I got, most of it, and just throwing it all in my savings until I know what to do with it.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I think getting that working for you on a tax-deferred basis is really going to be key. I mean, I hear what you're saying about the digital currency. I don't like that thought either. A lot of congressional leaders don't as well, or state governors, which is why we're seeing a lot of debate against it. I think probably even more against it than for it. It's going to have a hard time getting through a divided Congress just because this is a congressional decision, not something the Treasury can do. I don't like it because of the loss of privacy and control by the government over financial transactions. But it's a long way off, and it's not a foregone conclusion because of the fact that it would require Congress to get involved. Coinage is a congressional function. But even then, especially with some of the challenges we have in this country with the national debt and our spending and the control of the Federal Reserve, not to mention the possibility of a digital currency, despite all of that, we're still in the best position in the U.S. The U.S. dollar, no one's even a close second by any stretch to be a world reserve currency. And that's for reserves. I'm not talking about trade. I'm talking about for reserves. There's nobody even close. The euro is not an option. None of them. And we're still the strongest and best economy in the world, despite the fact that, we've got $30 trillion in debt. So I think the very best way for you to overcome inflation and as a 30-year-old guy, grow your wealth for the future so you have something in retirement to fund your lifestyle beyond Social Security. I think investing in stocks and bonds is still the way to go. I wouldn't get out of the banking system. I wouldn't get out of the stock market. I think that's your very best place to invest. And I'd rather you do it on a tax deferred basis. So at a minimum, as a 30-year-old guy, I would open a Roth IRA and fully fund it every year. It's $6,500 for this year. And we'll find out if that's going up to $7,000 next year in the fall. But I would absolutely fully fund that this year. And maybe you start by using that excess beyond the, what you have for emergency savings. In terms of where to open that and how to pick the investments, our friends at soundmindinvesting.org are equipped to help you as a very beginner investor and could actually help you with some mutual fund selections. If you'd rather go with more of a robo-advisor solution, I'd look at the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. But I think the name of the game is get 3 to 6 months expenses in a high yield savings account, and then start fully funding your Roth IRA every year. Get that invested on a low cost basis in some high quality mutual funds or ETFs, and do that every year between now and retirement. Thanks for your call. More to come on Faith and Finance right after this. We'll be right back.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost-sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, what we recognize is that certainly there are principles we find in Scripture that apply to us as individuals, but we also know that a large part of these financial passages were written to nations. They were written by kings or for kings, and we know that when we don't apply these principles, when we violate God's Word, well, there are consequences both personally and at the national level. We're, in fact, seeing some of that play out before our eyes, and we need to certainly pray and ask God to intervene here. But we need to start with ourselves. How are we handling our own economy? Are we doing that with an eternal perspective? Are we demonstrating our trust in God, our willingness to die to self and limit our lifestyle in such a way that the material things don't become the object of our affection, that we have our feet firmly rooted in the world that is to come, the eternal perspective, so that we can hold God's money loosely and give it generously and demonstrate to the world the way God designed money as a tool to be handled in such a way that it doesn't compete with our affection for Him. Well, we want to help you do that on this program each day here on Faith and Finance. We'd love to tackle your specific financial questions, help you apply these passages, the heart behind them, the principles to the daily decisions and choices you're making right now. So let's dive in. We're going to start in Philadelphia. Brenda, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Hi. I feel so blessed. I talked to you guys 2 months ago. I'm the grandmother that is raising 2 grandchildren. Remember me?
Yes, ma'am. I sure do.
Yeah. So anyway, the point of it is I just received a gift of somebody at the church for $500. So I don't know what to do. Invest it in something or just give it back to the church and invest it in God's kingdom. What should I do?
You're so sweet. I love this question. Let's talk about that, Brenda. What a blessing that you received this as a gift from somebody who obviously wanted to be the hands and feet of Jesus to bless you. And let's talk about where you're at financially. And ultimately, this is between you and the Lord to pray and ask for His wisdom and how you might use this and follow His leading. But apart from that, let me just ask, do you have any emergency savings, anything set aside that you could use for the unexpected?
No, nothing, because I cannot. Okay. I don't have nothing left behind. So
okay, yeah. All right. Do you have enough income to meet your bills most months?
To meet the bills, yes.
Okay, but you just don't have anything extra.
Exactly.
Okay. So I would say let's put this in a savings account. And this is going to be the beginning of what I call an emergency fund. And we're going to get a little bit of interest on it. You could put it in your regular bank that you're with right now. If you want to get a little bit more interest, you could put it in an online bank if you're comfortable using the internet and have access to it with a computer by linking an online savings account to your checking account. Do you have a bank checking account that you use?
I have a bank and I have a little checking account. Yeah, probably okay. $300.
Okay, very good. So I would encourage you to put this in a separate account, just so it's not in that same account that you write your bills out of every month, with the hope that we can hang on to it and you won't use it unless something truly unexpected comes out of left field, and it will, right? We know that the unexpected comes, but I wouldn't be looking to invest it per se. At the most, I would probably put it in a savings account that's going to get, you know, maybe 4%. And you could look at one of the online banks to do that. And then if you need it down the road, something comes out of left field, you have an unexpected failure with an appliance or a car maintenance that you didn't have the money for or a medical expense. Now you've got something, and to the best of your ability, and I realize money's tight, so I certainly understand that, but if you have anything left over each month, let's continue to try to build this up with a goal of trying to get 3 months worth of expenses in there. So if the total of your expenses are $1,500 in a month, you might want to try to save $4,500. Well, this is the beginning of that. So I think that's really where you want to go from here. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Would you not recommend a CD in 2 years and then I would get like $50 more? That would not be recommended by you?
I wouldn't, only because you don't have an emergency fund. And so I want you to have access to this money if you need it. And a CD would lock it up for a period of time. I want it in a separate account away from your checking account, but I don't want it in a CD where you can't get to it without paying a penalty because you may need it. We all need some liquid, meaning readily available cash that's sitting on the side as what I call an emergency fund. Now, here's the thing. If you use one of the online banks like Marcus or Capital One 360, you're going to get about 4% right now in the way of interest. And a CD of 10 months or 12 months is probably only going to give you a little more than 5%. So there's only about a 1% difference there. And with the savings account, you're going to have access to it at any time, whereas the CD is going to lock it up for a year or two. Does that make sense?
Yes. And if that stay there for until next year, when I have to do the income tax, that they're going to charge me because I had that $500 extra money for me to give to the government?
No, you would only pay any taxes on the interest. So if you have $500 and you invest that for the next year at 4%, you're going to get $20 worth of interest. That interest is taxable potentially, but it just depends on the rest of your income as to whether or not you'll pay any tax. But at the most, you'll just pay tax on the interest, which we're looking at about $20.
Thank you so much. You guys are wonderful.
Okay. Hey, God bless you, Brenda. Thanks for calling today. May the Lord be with you and keep you, and call back anytime. Hey, a quick email before we head to the break. This comes to us from Mike in Tennessee. He writes, Rob, my daughter has a Roth IRA, which I started for her while she was working part-time in college. Now she has a full-time job and has a Roth IRA there. Can she still fund her personal Roth too? What Mike probably means is she has the option for a Roth 401k there. She wouldn't have a Roth IRA through her employer. Those are only set up individually. And if that's the case, Mike, absolutely. She can have a Roth 401k, which has the ability to put in, well, for this year, $22,500. And in addition to that, she can have a Roth IRA held in her name personally. She can put in $6,500 into that. So her combined contributions could go as high as $29,000. Mike, hope that's helpful to you. By the way, if you have a question you'd like read on the air, send it along to us. AskRob@faithfi.com. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to the Hearts of Fire virtual event on July 14th. This is a one-of-a-kind virtual event that highlights stories from persecuted Christians around the world. This event will benefit the global body of Christ and inspire you in your own walk of faith. Hear from four persecuted Christians, plus join in worship along with Michael W. Smith. To register as an individual or host this event at your church, visit heartsevent.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we provide a hopeful, encouraging, biblical message of financial decision making. You know, it's all about looking through the lens of Scripture, holding what God has entrusted to us loosely so we can give generously. I would submit that's the primary purpose for which God has entrusted resources to us, clearly to provide for ourselves and our families. But I think so often we get stuck in an endless list of needs and wants, never getting beyond that to the opportunity to serve those on our path and be generous, supporting the work of the Lord. Think about that today as you consider your role as a steward in managing God's money. Let's head to Cleveland, WCRF. Hi, Agatha. Thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Rob. I'm calling to ask, when is it appropriate for you to give the last four digits of your Social Security when you're trying to transact business? I called Synchrony Bank. I had made an inquiry. They sent me a letter, and I called them, and the lady acted like she could not find my account with my last four, and I made the mistake of giving her my whole Social Security, even though I had that misgiving. So I received a letter today from Credit One Bank in Las Vegas. Somebody opened an account, and they charge like $7 for the credit card that you wanted, and they charge, the total was $81, and it's for some kind of fee. So I called them, and I spoke to three different people, and my question is, when is it appropriate to even give your four-digit? I've learned my lesson with my Social Security, and I informed them that I'm still calling to report it as a scam, because it was. I've not been there. I don't know who had access, probably the lady I spoke to at Synchrony. Thank you.
You placed the call to them. They didn't call you. Is that right?
Yes, I had called them initially, and they sent me a letter, in which I responded to about that inquiry.
Okay, and then you called them back?
Yes.
Okay. Well, a couple of thoughts. I mean, one is, I would not give your Social Security, any part of it, including the last four, to anyone who contacts you, regardless of what it says on the caller ID, because all of that can be masked and appear to be coming from a legitimate institution, one even that you do business with. I would only give out the last four of your social when you are calling in. And there really shouldn't be a reason why you'd need to give your full social to them unless you're opening an account, which you would do online or with a paper form. And then you would need to provide your full social because they need to be able to report certain documents to the information to the IRS and so forth. But only give the last four of your social if you're contacting customer service when you initiate that call using the toll-free number on the back of your card. And don't ever give it out to anyone calling you, regardless of who they say they're with. and never click on a link in an email and provide any personal information. With regard to an account that's opened fraudulently in your name, if that has happened, there are several steps to take. Number one, contact that card issuer. Let them know that that was opened fraudulently. Ask them to close the account. Number two, freeze your credit. So you'll want to contact each of the three credit reporting bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, and you'll want to freeze your credit. That simply means that they're going to lock your credit file. You're going to create a four-digit PIN number. And anytime you want to open an account, whether it's a credit card or take out a loan for a car or a house, you're going to need to provide that four-digit PIN for the lender to pull a copy of your credit report to determine whether or not they want to extend credit to you. If somebody tries to open an account fraudulently in your name, they'll be stopped in their tracks because they won't have the PIN number. That freezing of your credit report has to be done with each of the bureaus separately, and it is free. So I would do that immediately. Also, if you determine an account was opened in your name fraudulently, I would place what's called a fraud alert on each of the three credit bureaus. That will just inform anyone that's checking your credit file that that has happened, and they can be more aware of that. I would also order a copy of your three credit reports just to see if there's any accounts you don't recognize. You'll want to do that at annualcreditreport.com. I hope that's helpful to you. I know that's a lot, but I think those are the steps to take with regard to giving out your personal information and addressing this fraudulent account that you've identified. Thank you for calling, Agatha. We hope that you can get this sorted out here quickly. To Woodstock, Illinois. Hi, Larry. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. Thank you. I have a stepdaughter and son-in-law that have very poor credit, and I'm trying to get into renting a property, and I'm trying to see what I can do to help them improve their credit. One thing I've heard is putting them on as an authorized user on a credit card.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm
that will
sure how that would affect me and in the long run.
Well, it won't affect you at all unless you give them one of those credit cards and then you allow them to start charging on it. And then that might affect you a lot because you'd have a debt that you're responsible for. But if you simply add them, and everybody's on board with this, for the purpose of building their credit as an authorized user, they don't get a copy of the card, they're not using the account, then all that's going to happen is they're going to inherit your credit from that account. So every time the credit bureau reports, or every time your card issuer reports to your credit file, it will report to hers as well. And as long as you're paying your bills on time and you've got good credit, that credit will land on her credit file just as the same time it lands on yours. And that will provide positive credit, which will help her score over time. The other thing she could do would be to open a secured credit card, which is just a card with a certain amount on deposit that she might set up an automated charge for, just a few dollars a month for a budgeted item. She pays it off in full. And, you know, that's going to be reported to her file each month as well. So what we want to do is just get enough positive credit history going her way that it's going to help to improve her credit, because oftentimes the lack of credit is just, you know, as big a problem as having bad credit. So I think those are the next steps for her. And, you know, it's going to take some time, but at least this will get her in a situation where hopefully over time she would be able to have a score that would allow her to qualify for the best rates and terms. Does all that make sense?
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, we already have her getting in to get a card and starting to use it. Now, when you say it takes some time, 6 months plus.
How far away? I mean, does she have bad credit? Does she have some black marks on her file, or what is it?
She actually has never had credit. And then her husband, his credit's like 519, and he's probably got some bad things against him.
Okay. Yeah.
So the hope here would be to give the greater amount. You know, they probably have credit under 5,000, and we could, if more than one family could add to that, we could easily quadruple that or more, you know.
Yeah, very good. Well, you know, I think that's the key. It's going to take some time. Yeah, it could take 6 months or more. The other thing they may want to look into is something called Experian Boost. This is a new service from Experian, one of the three major credit bureaus, that allows her to get credit for paying her utility and phone bills on time. And that will help to improve her FICO score, which is one of the primary scoring models that's used by most of the major lenders. So I think between the adding as an authorized user, the secured credit card, and then Experian Boost, that will certainly get her pointed in the right direction. You could also look at something, and you could just do a web search for this, something called a credit builder loan, which is a loan that you repay ultimately to yourself specifically for the purpose of building credit. And that's going to come in not as a revolving account, but an installment account, which is a different type of credit. That will help also. More to come on Faith and Finance right after this. We'll be right back.
You've got Christians who love Jesus and they have kids and they're just like, I just don't know what my calling is.
Right.
Will and Mickey Addison.
What is it that Jesus wants me to do? I feel like I'm a teacher.
And that's that's why when you go to the scripture and talk about equipping the saints for work of ministry, you should look inside first. It can be right, you know, at your address.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices to Illinois. Hi, Wanda. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I have a piece of property that was in a trust, and it was to be given to me and my brothers, and the last survivor gets the property. So I was a beneficiary. Mm-hmm. And since I've outlived my brothers, do I sell that if I decide to sell it as a beneficiary or as an owner?
Yeah. So this trust was established by your parents. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And so at their passing, this property was to be placed in the name of you and your siblings. Is that right? Or was it to be sold?
What were the...
Go ahead.
The trust, it was put in the trust for me and my brothers to live there, and whoever outlived us, then that the property goes to the last survivor. I was in charge of the trust, though.
Yes.
I did have to make sure things were took care of.
Sure.
I was the one that, but otherwise, my brothers have passed, so now I didn't know how to go about selling it as an owner, or do I sell it as a beneficiary for the capital gains?
Yes. Yeah, that's great. Well, when you take possession of the property, you get the stepped up basis on the property, which would be that that fair market value. Now, I would contact. Do you have an estate planning attorney that you've worked with, perhaps the person that set up the trust?
The gentleman, the lawyer that set up the trust, he's still around.
Okay. I would contact him, Wanda. I wouldn't want to say necessarily what your next steps would be without seeing the trust documents. Because he's the one that set it up, he would be able to tell you exactly how you would go proceed from here as to liquidating the property. And what I would suspect would happen is that because you've fulfilled the trust obligations, that it's to be passed to that final person of the beneficiaries, is that you would transfer that out of the trust into your own name, and then you would sell it at that point using that stepped up basis that would come with that. You would have any capital gains for proceeds beyond that beyond that cost basis. But as to the order of that and exactly how you'd go about that in terms of distributing the process to you and then turning around and selling it, you'd want to have that attorney give you some counsel on exactly how to go about that. So I would place that call to him, Wanda, and have that attorney walk you through the process from here. And given that he created the trust, it'll be very easy for him to pull that up and then give you instructions on the next steps.
Yeah, I thought I just didn't know if being a beneficiary, if you have to pay capital gains also.
Yeah, you would certainly, if the selling price is beyond the stepped up basis for the property that you're inheriting through the trust. And so that's part of what will need to be determined. He can help you determine the date for the market value based on the date of death. And then you'll put that against the ultimate selling price to determine whether you have capital gain. So you will certainly get a stepped up basis as a part of this. The question is just whether there's, any capital gains beyond that upon the sale. And he should be able to help you handle that. And then you'll want to talk to your CPA about reporting that appropriately in the year of the sale. So hopefully that helps you, Wanda. All the best to you as you go through this. I know there's a lot of work that you've already put into this, and it sounds like you have a bit more before this is eventually sold. But once it is, then you will have sufficiently exhausted all of your responsibilities as that trustee. Thanks for your call today. To Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Ann. How can I help you?
Hi. I am a widow, and I am now not working except part-time. I only have about $30,000 in the bank and about $16,000 or $17,000 in a school retirement. And I know when I hit 72, which is in December, they're going to want me to start taking out some of that money. The government will require that. So would I be wise to see if I can leave it where it is and only take a small amount, or would I be better to roll the whole thing into something else?
So that is currently where it's still with you, the university that you worked for or the college?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, very good. And do you need that money at all?
Well, I'm trying not to use that money.
Okay, very good. So, one opportunity would be if you decided to roll it out to an IRA, have you separated from employment or are you still there?
No, I'm not there anymore. I am working some part-time, but I'm not working there anymore.
Okay, all right. And will you turn 72 or did you turn 72 after December 31st of last year?
No, it's this year. This year I turned 72.
Okay. So if you don't turn 72 until this year, your age for taking that required minimum is actually 73, not 72. They're systematically increasing that. It's eventually going to be pushed out to age 75. But for anyone who turns 72 after December 31st of 2022, your age for taking that required minimum distribution is actually 73. So you will have another year before you have to start doing that. If at that point you want to satisfy that required minimum, but you don't need the money even then what you could look at would be what's called a qualified charitable distribution. It would have to be in an IRA, so you'd have to roll it out. But what that means is if you're doing any giving to your church or a charity right now out of current cash flow or out of savings on an annual basis, one thing you could do would be to not give that amount from your own cash or your savings and do that from the IRA through a qualified charitable distribution, that would satisfy the required minimum and take that same money that you were giving out of current cash flow or savings and just bring it out of the IRA instead. And at that point, it's not added to your gross adjusted gross income, so you don't pay any tax on it, and you can give the ministry or charity or both the same amount that you would have been giving otherwise. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. So you probably have to talk to some financial person on this.
Not necessarily. So what would happen is once you roll that out to an IRA, let's say you did that at Fidelity or Charles Schwab, you would then contact your the brokerage firm that handles it, the custodian of the account, and just let them know that you want to do a qualified charitable distribution. You'd let the church or your charity know that it's coming, and they will initiate the paperwork to send the amount that you need to send to satisfy the required minimum, and it'll just send straight over to the charity, and they'll receive it at that point. And then you'll report to the IRS that you did it, so they know that you took out your required minimum. But again, that wouldn't be until age 73.
And that would all have to be a one lump sum, correct, to do a qualified charitable?
No, you could do that. It could be as long as you reach the total required minimum throughout that calendar year. By the end of that calendar year, then you're covered.
Okay. And I have one other question. Since I don't have lots of money, like $30,000 in the bank, it's just sitting there because I am trying to keep my home going and all the repairs and this and that, and I don't have a lot. So I've been advised to kind of keep my money liquid, but that would it be wise for me to take $2,000 or $3,000 and do one of the CDs for 7 months or something like that?
Sure. Yeah. You know, some of these CDs, to get the most competitive rates, you do need to put more, you know, they have minimums. And so you would just have to look at that. But you could go to bankrate.com and explore the banks that have the very best CD rates right now. And you could even type in as part of the search criteria how much you want to put into it to only see those results of banks that would allow you to put in that amount. Because again, in order to get the most competitive rates, you might have a $10,000 or even a $25,000 minimum that you would have to put in. But yeah, I don't have any problem with that. The other option is to open a high yield savings account. Where is that $30,000 currently?
Arvest.
And what are you getting in terms of a yield on that?
I'm not sure. Something looked like two point
okay.
something.
Okay. Yeah, there are rates that are much better than that right now. So you could look at Marcus or Capital One 360. Right now, Marcus.com is paying 4.15% on their high yield savings. So you could put the whole $30,000 in there and you'd get over 4% a year on that. It's FDIC insured, and you'd have full access to the money whenever you needed it. So that might be an alternative as opposed to leaving it there and just putting only a few thousand into a CD.
So what is the other, you mentioned Marcus and another one?
Capital One 360. Yeah.
Okay.
Marcus is the retail side of Goldman Sachs, Marcus.com.
Okay.
And Capital One 360 would be another. Either of those would be great options.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Happy to do it. Thanks very much for your call. Quickly to Omaha. Theus, thank you for calling. I have just a minute left.
Yeah, Rob, I'll be very brief. Rob, I was trying to see if you, I know in the past you've mentioned Sound Mind Investing and also Fidelity and Charles Schwab. Would you have any other companies outside of other companies for Roth IRAs for individuals?
Yeah. Sound Mind Investing is a great option. You mentioned them. And the reason I would mention that again is they'll essentially give you some good mutual fund recommendations, but you can use any brokerage firm you want. You don't have to use Schwab or Fidelity. Those are just two of the largest discount brokerages out there, which keep the expenses low. But they'll essentially give you the mutual fund suggestions that fit with the strategy you're looking to deploy based on your age and risk tolerance. And then you can choose the brokerage firm of your choice at that point. So I'd probably start with soundmindinvesting.org and then go from there. Theus, thanks for your call today. All right, folks, thanks for being along with us. It's been my privilege to come alongside you, hopefully to be an encouragement, but always to help you look to Scripture, God's Word, as the source for all living, including our financial management. Thank you to Pat Montague, Robert Sutherland, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without him. Have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.